Good morning, Harbor of Joy. Glad to see you all here on this lovely, lovely sunny day. And we're going to start out with "This is the day," which comes right out of the scripture, right out of Psalm 118.
This is the day that the Lord hath made, that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice, we will rejoice, and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made, that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice, we will rejoice, and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord hath made. That the Lord hath made.
Our call to worship is the mighty one, God, the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to the place where it sits. From Zion, perfect in beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes and will not be silent. A fire devours him and the tempest rages. Our next song is "O Worship the King." And unless you've been living under a rock for 2 weeks, the elephant in the room is, you know what day it is today? Super Bowl Sunday. So we're going to worship our King and not the heroes of the football field. But if you are cheering for the Chiefs, sing the first verse. If you're cheering for our Iowa boy, Brock Purdy, who is a Christian, sing the second verse. We'll all sing the third verse. And if you really could care less and are sick of football, sing all three verses.
One more verse to that. Welcome to Harbor of Joy. Good to see you all here today. And I could not tell who was singing for the Chiefs or who was singing for the 49ers, but it doesn't really matter. I'm just glad that you are here. And welcome to Harbor of Joy as well. Got some announcements, and not all the announcements are in the bulletin here today, but I do know this, is that Becky Rowe is going to be on radio next Sunday at 7:50. That's at 10 to 8 on the local radio station. It's 1240 out of Spencer. And so she's going to be speaking because there is a program called Christian Women Speaks. And she will be singing. I'm not singing. She'll be speaking on that. No. But Becky, also, you're doing something on Sunday night. Not tonight, but next Sunday. You want to say something about that? Or?
I
don't want to put you on the spot, but... Thank you, Becky.
5 o'clock.
And Karen, you've got an announcement, I believe.
Just a couple quick ones.
Okay. You're done. That's quick. No, go ahead.
There's many blank spaces on the treaters and the greeters back in the on the refrigerator. And if you're willing to greet a Sunday or bring cookies a Sunday, I'd sure appreciate it if you'd sign up. It's pretty empty right now. And the other announcement is Sharon and Lynn and I are getting a choir together again for Easter, like you did at Christmas time. We have instrumental Easter music on Easter, but we're going to try to sing a hymn. It's not going to be that difficult. I don't think Lynn's picking it out, so that's her problem. We'll start practicing after church like you did at Christmas time on the second and third Sunday of March. If you want to join us, and we'll sing our anthem then on Palm Sunday.
I'm done.
Okay, thank you, Karen. That was not quick, but it was good enough. Appreciate that. Thank you for making those announcements. Now I'll take the longest time here. This week, on Tuesday at 7 o'clock, the church council meets here at the church. And then Wednesday, we have Joy Kids, Joy Us, the children's, after the school ministry that we do here from 3:30 to 5 o'clock. And there'll be confirmation instruction. And then at 6:30, there'll be no meal this coming Wednesday or anything to eat. But at 6:30, we'll have our Ash Wednesday service here. And that's 6:30, just make sure you got the right time there. 6:30, everything will be at 6:30, even in Lent as well. And we'll talk about that more in the bulletin next week, I believe. We are looking at a chili supper for the men. Man, how many are you going to be making chili? Raise your hand. Or are you going to tell your wife to make it, and then you'll bring it? Yeah. You know, it could be either way, or. But I just kind of want to just give the ladies a break, and I know I've said this before. But man, we just want to do something together as guys, and we'll bring the chili, and we'll clean up and all those kinds of things so that the ladies do not have to worry about that. So I'm already looking forward to that. I have not made my chili yet either, but that will happen as time goes on here. And then we will also meet at 6:30 with our first Lenten service at that time. I don't want to make the Lenten services a whole hour. I want to make them shorter just because I know how many of you love driving in the dark. So I don't want to make it that long. I want to go 40 minutes max type of a thing, just so that you know that's going to be taking place when Lenten starts. When it comes to Lenten suppers, it depends upon who signs up, if there's going to be a supper or not. If no one signs up or however that goes, there will be no supper. So it'll be kind of like a week-by-week thing. I'll let you know ahead of time if there's going to be anything or not. And sometimes I get notified Wednesday, the day of saying we're ready to make a supper for tonight. And there's no way of telling you unless you're emailed, I guess. That can happen as well, too. But be prepared to or call if you want to know if there's going to be supper or not. That's all the announcements that I'm going to make. But there is one I want to pray before we begin, and there is a prayer request that Sharon Holman's youngest sister is having surgery as we speak in Denver, Colorado. And it does not look, looks pretty serious from what I gather from Sharon. So we're going to pray for Muriel, as well as Wayne Sunday, who is not here today either, I don't think.
Yeah, he is.
Is he here? Where's he at? Oh, there he is. You mind if I pray for you too, Wayne? Do you mind if I pray for your hearing? that's okay. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can be here today. Thank you that you are here in our midst as well. That's the most important thing. And you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And Lord, we know that today there'll be a lot of people really gathering together for Super Bowl and all those kinds of things. But Lord, that's really neither here nor there. You are what is important today. And as we come to gather together to worship you, we are mindful, Lord, of those who are probably not feeling well. We think especially, Lord, of Muriel today, that you'd be with the surgeons, you'd be with the doctors, the things that they need to do for her, that you would just calm her heart. We don't know if she's under anesthesia right now or not. She could be, but Lord, we just pray that the presence of yourself can be made known to her and to the family that's probably in the waiting room waiting for her as well, that we look to you in times like these because there's nothing else that we can do. And we just pray for the surgeons and the nurses and the staff there that do their what they're trained to do, but they're limited in what they can do. But Lord, you're not limited. And so we just pray for your hand to be upon Muriel here as we pray. And we also think, Lord, of Wayne too, just the different things that he's been going through in the last, must be the last couple of weeks at least, to just be with him in a very real way and to touch his back and to touch his body and touch his ears, that you would just give to him what is needed. And so, Lord, we thank you for this time that we can worship you together, and we thank you for the quartet that we're going to hear. We thank you for the praise band that is in front leading us in worship. And we thank you, Lord, that we can hear your word as well today. Draw us closer to yourself, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Will you stand, if you're able, while we sing the next I Sing Praises to Your Name?
Together, didn't we, Karen?
Yes.
Responsive reading today comes from the song, The Lamb of God. So you might have heard these words before. You probably have sung them. But here we're going to just speak them together. Your only son, no sin to hide. But you have sent him from your side.
upon this guilty sod and to become the
Your gift of love they crucified. They laughed and scorned him as he died.
The humble king they named a fraud and sacrificed the Lamb of God.
I was so lost, I should have died. But you have brought me to your side.
To be led by your staff and rod and to be called a Lamb of God.
O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the Holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in his precious blood till I am just a Lamb of God.
I got my men together that sing so well, I think. We're going to sing an old Southern gospel song that was written about the time Al Holman was born. and it was sung, I think, the first time by the Blackwood Quartet, if you remember that. It's Just a Little Talk with Jesus. And I've often heard people say, I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to pray. And I think this tells it all. It's just a little talk with Jesus.
Thanks, guys. Good to hear from you guys. I don't care what anybody else says. I'm glad you can teach us through the songs you sing, just a little talk. And I agree with what Karen said. When it comes to prayer, it's just like you talk to anybody else. God wants us to talk to him as well. I invite you to stand as we hear the sermon today, where it comes from the Gospel of Matthew. It's in the New Testament, chapter 9, verses 2 through 9 today. And I read in Jesus' name. You've all have heard this maybe many times before, but There could be some here today that never heard this much at all. Mark 9, verses 2 through 9. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say because they were so frightened. When a cloud appeared and came over them, and a voice came from the cloud, "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." We've heard that before, haven't we? Previous messages. Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except for Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. Lord, we thank you for your word here today. Thank you for the things that you will teach us and help us to apply to our own lives here this morning and this coming week, and in the hopefully the weeks and months and years ahead. Use your word, Lord, in a powerful way today, and help me to preach it as you would want me to preach. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Everyone needs to have a mountaintop encounter with Jesus. I want you to think on that a little bit. Let that marinate in your life and in your bones here today. Everyone, that means every one of you here, need to have a mountaintop encounter with Jesus somewhere at some time in your life. Because it is going to be one of those moments, it's going to be one of those times that you will never, ever forget. I'm sure these 3 guys that Jesus called to go with him up the mountain, Peter, James, and John, never, ever forgot this encounter that they had with Jesus. And then to be able to say, they went up as 4, but then they saw there was 2 more.
There we go.
So there was 6 guys. And then there was just, when they came down, it was the same 4 that went up. But I want you to remember this. Even when you have a mountaintop encounter with Jesus, we need to remember that we all have to go back down the mountain, don't we? We have to go back down the mountain into the valley, into the places where we live, and we have to face reality. We can't stay on the mountaintop the whole time. And that's some hard stuff that we have to endure. So we can have a mountaintop experience sometimes when there's a seminar. We go to some seminar somewhere, we hear a great speaker, a motivational speaker. We go to Bible camps here. Whoever is speaking at that time, there's a Bible conference here in the Lakes area. And there's also Via de Cristo. And these are all wonderful opportunities to go. But we have to always remember, we're going to have to go back to the family. We're going to have to go back to our friends. We're going to have to go back to work. And we're going to have to face that weekly grind and face reality. So whatever you learned or are taught on the mountain, You're going to soon be tested. It might have been a great time, a wonderful time, but you're going to be tested when you go back down the mountain. And you go back to your own valley, whatever that may be. Some of you have heard of Martin Luther King. You know, one time he has a great speech he made in Washington, D.C., where he said, "I have a dream." Remember that? And it says this, "I have a dream. I've been to the mountaintop, and I've seen the promised land. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." He also said something like this in that speech. He's looking for the day when a man will be judged not by the color of his skin, but by his character. And there's a lot of truth to that. There's something going on in this world where too much time is spent on skin color and not on character. Because character is who you are. It's kind of your track record of where you have been, what you have done over the years, will say a lot about your character. And of course, if you ever want a job, you always have to give a reference, don't you? And those that they call, that you give as a reference, are going to have to tell the person who is interested in you of saying, like, "So tell, what do you know about this person?" They're interested in their character traits, not really much of anything else. Are they dependable? Will they show up to work? Will they be a good influence to the other workers if they're going to be brought into a larger setting? When Jesus took James, John, and Peter up to the mountain, it's been asked, like, what mountain did he go up to do this on? There's two places. The first one is, I don't think is the right place, but it says Mount Tabor. It's only 1,000 feet high, but it's too far away from some of the things where Jesus did his ministry. The main place where they believe that the transfiguration took place of Jesus was on Mount Hermon. And that's not too far from Caesarea Philippi in the northern part of Israel. Mount Hermon is over 9,000 feet high. It's snow-capped. And it's believed that that is, on that mountain somewhere, is where Jesus took his three disciples and where this happened at. It's kind of the most logical place where this could have taken place, of something that it talks about a mountain. So the question I have here today is, where's Andrew? When Jesus called Peter, James, and John, where's Andrew? Andrew is the brother of Peter, isn't he? He is. But Jesus never asked Andrew to go with. He just said, "Peter, come. James and John, they're brothers, come. Sons of Zebedee." And they went up to the mountain. And these three, you think of all the disciples, but I think of these three in particular, were part of the 12 who also saw Jesus do many things throughout his ministry. Before they went up to the Mount of Transfiguration, they have seen Jesus feed the 5,000. They have seen Jesus walk on the water. They've seen Jesus bring someone back from the dead. They've seen Jesus heal the lame, the blind, and the deaf. They've seen some very incredible things. But they've never seen anything like what they're going to experience on this mountain. They have no idea. All they know is that they're going to come down differently than when they went up. And I think that's a given. There's no way they could not have changed having that mountaintop encounter with Jesus and come back down the same way as they went up. because they saw something. They saw something they never, ever saw before. This mountaintop encounter with Jesus Christ makes us go back to the Old Testament with Moses. Now, I don't know if all of you know this, but Moses, when he came down from the mountain meeting with God, his face was so radiant that the people told him to cover his face. He shone so bright. And so he had to put a veil over his face when he would speak to the people, telling them what God had told him to say to them. But when he went into the tent of meeting or into the tabernacle to meet with God, or the cloud showed up, he went to the cloud, he would take the veil off because he'd meet with God with his face uncovered, and he'd come back out, it'd be shining so brightly that he had to cover it again. So what we find here in the New Testament is nothing new than what has happened before with Moses. But before their very eyes, Jesus physically changes. There's something that changes. They see it's the glory of the Lord that they've seen, that they've never seen before. He's bright. The Greek word that talks about this change is where we get the word metamorphosis. It's like a caterpillar that makes a cocoon, and you know, a caterpillar is a worm kind of a thing, and makes a cocoon and goes inside, and over a period of time it changes, and out comes another worm? No. Out comes a beautiful butterfly or a moth. It changes so radically. And so there's a change that they were able to see with Jesus, but it wasn't just Jesus that was there. They see Elijah and Moses. Now, how did they know it was Elijah and Moses? They have pictures to look at that they've seen before. Oh, that's Moses and that's Elijah. Well, God revealed who it was to them. And so you have Moses, who represents the law of God in the Old Testament. You've got Elijah, who would represent the prophets in the Old Testament. You think of even Zechariah, who is John the Baptist's dad. In the New Testament, Zechariah was a priest, and he went into the temple, and when he came back out, he could not talk because he had questioned what God told him what was going to happen between him and his wife. He was an old man, and so was she. And she was going to have a child, which would be John the Baptist, a cousin to Jesus. But he could not speak until John the Baptist was born. And typically in the Jewish culture, you'd come up with a name, but he did not choose a name that would be part of the family name. He would say his name would be John. Then he could talk again. And you can read that for yourself in the New Testament. Peter shows his impulsive side here. He didn't know what was going on. If you read some of the accounts in the scriptures, we find that when these disciples went to pray with Jesus, they fell asleep. And so Peter could have woken up after this whole big event kind of is winding down. It is kind of coming to an end where the glory of God shone. And Peter realizes that, hey, this is a great thing. I don't know what it's all about, but I got a great idea, Rabbi, teacher. How about if I build each of you a place to stay, a little hut? And that is really when the voice from the cloud that came over Jesus and Moses and Elijah, Peter would have heard the voice, "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." In other words, Peter, be quiet. Sometimes I've said, shut up. But then those small kids, they'd go like, "Mom, did you hear the pastor? He said, shut up." But Peter sometimes talks more than what he should. When he should listen, he's talking. Sounds a lot like us, doesn't it? Sometimes we should be listening rather than talking. Only Mark here includes this listen to him. Only Mark does. Matthew doesn't. Luke doesn't. John doesn't even bring up the transfiguration, and John was there. But he doesn't even talk about the transfiguration, the changing that went on this mountain here with these other two guys. But it is known to them that whenever there's a cloud that envelops them and there's a voice that they hear, they know it's God who is speaking. We find that in the Old Testament, it always meant that God's presence is there. The cloud represented that God was with them. And no different here. God is there on that mountain when this takes place. So what were they doing there? Why was Moses there, and why was Elijah talking to Jesus? Well, Luke is the only gospel writer who tells us that Moses and Elijah, they're talking to Jesus about going to Jerusalem when he's going there to die on the cross. So they're there to encourage him. So it's like, Jesus, you've come this far. God's plan is for you to go to Jerusalem. And Jesus has told his disciples at least three different times he was going to Jerusalem, where he knew he was going to be mistreated. He'd end up on the cross. He would end up dying in Jerusalem. But then he'd always say, but on the third day, I will rise from the dead. I'll come back, which we know he did. So when it comes time for them to go back down the mountain, you got Moses is gone, Elijah is gone, the disciples, those three are there with Jesus. We just know that Jesus is there all by himself, and he goes back down the mountain with James, John, and Peter. They had their mountaintop encounter. Now it's time to go back down to where real life is. But Jesus tells those three, don't say anything. Don't say anything until the resurrection. Then you'll understand it, what you just saw. But how do you ever forget that? And I believe that Peter did not forget what happened here. Because in his book, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 17 through 18, Peter is telling his audience that he was there and that he heard. He heard and saw these things, and he mentions it to his audience at that time. So in concluding, which is the end of the message, we all need to have an encounter with Jesus. We all need to have that mountaintop encounter with him somewhere in our lives. Have you had it already? Have you had it? Or do you say today, I've never had that. I've never been that close to Jesus in my life. You may have gone to Bible camp. You may have gone to a Bible conference. You may have gone to a retreat, and you may have gone to Via de Cristo, but not all of you have done these things. Some of you have been here, have never been to any of those kinds of things, but some of you have. So I would say this, and even if you're watching by Zoom, and if you're here today at Harbor of Joy, could it be that today, right here, right now, wherever you are, that God is talking to you. That you can have this encounter with his son right now today. Where you sit and wherever you are, from whatever state you are watching this. Is God calling you because he wants to transform your heart? He wants to change your heart and your attitudes to be more like his son, Jesus Christ. So you can receive Christ into your life here right now as you believe in him by faith and say, Lord, I just need you. I don't even know what that means, but I know I need you. And I thank you for loving me, for that you first loved me, that I can love others. I just say what God said out of the cloud that Peter, James, and John heard as well. I hope you hear this today too. God said, listen to him. Referring to Jesus. Listen to Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for reminding us that we cannot stay up on the mountaintop, but there's a time when we have to come down. We have to face many things when we come down. Not all of them are pleasant. Because we know that there is sin there. There is darkness, but you are the light. And there's unbelief. And Lord, all those things can be right here this morning. Here in our lives, in one way or another, that prevent us from loving you prevents us from receiving your grace of forgiveness to us. But Lord, we know that we need you, and we need your forgiveness. So come. Come and do what only you can do in my heart. I'm not saying this just to say it. I say it because I've heard that your son is the one who can only forgive, and your son is the only one who can change us because he was changed. Even after his resurrection. So we just pray that you do your work here this morning in every heart. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Will you please stand as we, if you're able to stand, if you can't, that's fine too. We're going to just recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Karen, just hold on there. Just hold on there. Once you've been seated, I just want you to think about what was just said before we end the service. I look at the time. We got lots of time. Remember, God said, listen to him. Are you listening to Jesus? We're going to take some time to let you listen. It's going to make you feel uncomfortable. Because never has it been so quiet in this church as it will be now. So let's just take that time and listen. I'll let you know when to start playing, Karen. Do you hear that? The dogs are barking. The airplane is flying overhead. And some of you will tell it, some of your friends, we did the strangest thing in church on Sunday or today. What was that? The pastor made us just do nothing and sit there in quiet. It's okay. It's okay. Thanks for doing that. Karen, go ahead.
Why don't you stand for our last one? This is I'll Fly Away. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:8, we would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord.
Life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Life have gone, I'll fly away. Like a bird from prison bars have flown, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Thank you.
Go in God's peace.